And there was an interesting report that I saw yesterday. I think it was the Washington Post, talked about how they had been talking to some congressional staffers, and many of them, even on the Republican side, were saying they're concerned about their security. They're concerned about all the divisive rhetoric going on. They're concerned about the possibility of more violence, a la the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol. And these are folks that are professionals and have been working there a long time, and they're worried that maybe they could potentially be in for some violence there. On the line with me right now, Scott McFarland from CBS News. Good morning, Scott. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. Good to be here.
So I understand you want to talk about Congress and election security concerns. Does this have to do with that report about the congressional staffers, or is there something different?
I want to talk about Congress, but I put that in quotes because some days it just drives you nuts to talk about Congress. I think ultimately there are a couple things going on here. First of all, there are security threats involving the election that they don't have to do with ballot boxes or polling places. There is a rhetoric saturating this election that is just different than past years. You know, the politically violent threats against members of Congress have grown by orders of magnitude since just 5 or 10 years ago. You hear it from the judges in the January 6th defendants. The rhetoric surrounding Trump, Biden, 2020 election, the 2024 coming election is just different. And I think it's one of the things that's triggering this wave of retirement that we've seen. Members of Congress saying, I've had about enough of this place. This is not worth the squeeze. The juice of serving here is not worth what this is doing to my family and to my life. That's why you see, among other things, Ohio members of Congress have been around here a while saying, time for me to go.
Right. I know was last year, I guess it was Anthony Gonzalez was one of the first that retired from Congress from around here. He was one of the only Republicans that had voted to impeach Donald Trump.
One of 10, and only two of those 10 survived the midterms. The rest either quit or got primaried by Trump-favored candidates and are gone. Just two of those 10 Republicans remain. But you've got a Cincinnati congressman, Fred Wenstrup. You obviously had the Columbiana County, Southeast Ohio Congressman Bill Johnson retire and retire midterm to get out of this place. And I talked to a number of folks from both parties who say this is just different. This is not just gridlocked, like Congress can be from time to time. This is dysfunctional and politically toxic. And I think they recognize that it may not get better in November or next January if this tone and tenor continues.
One of the things that two reports that I saw having to do with Donald Trump, one, the judge in this upcoming trial in New York had increased or broadened the gag order because there have been threats against prosecutors and also against the judge's own family. Also, in addition to that, Trump over the weekend had posted something to his Truth Social. It was a picture of Joe Biden being bound and gagged in the back of a truck. He shared that picture. And I mean, anybody else would get a visit from the Secret Service, would they not?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assumption. The gag order that they've issued in New York limits Trump from talking about the judge's family. It's not the first time you've heard that refrain, because there was a gag order issued here in Washington, D.C., where Trump was accused of targeting with his posts and his speech court staff, prosecutors' staff, prosecutors' families. So these gag orders don't inoculate the judge from being the target of criticism, but they do focus on the family members and those who are not party to these cases. And the gag orders do hold up. The gag order in Washington, D.C. was appealed, but it was upheld mostly on appeal. And I think that's a recognition from the appeals courts and the judges that this is not something to trifle with.
Well, when people are listening to this about a gag order, they might not understand what that means or why they issue them. And so first tell me, what is the principle or what is the reality that they're trying to protect against? And then two, what are the possible sanctions? And do you think any of them will actually be employed?
What they're usually trying to do with gag orders is prevent people from biasing witnesses or tainting a possible jury, you know, with arguments before the case begins. They don't want to have, you know, jurors coming in there with preconceived notions, so gag orders limit public statements that might get to the ears of jurors. This is something different. This is a concern that this might chill, scare possible witnesses, those who may participate in a case. That's problematic for a case if the witnesses are too scared to come forward because they're worried about being the target of speech, but also that it might invoke and incite threats of violence against prosecutors, judges, defense lawyers, and witnesses, too. And that's something these gag orders are designed to block.
Well, it's pretty typical for people who are charged with crimes to say, I didn't do it. And, you know, when you talk about like mob cases, for example, that's usually when you're worried about witness intimidation. But even somebody who was like the head of a crime family doesn't have the same kind of reach and power as somebody who's an actual legitimate political figure and a former president. That's got to carry more weight with the kinds of followers that person has.
I'll tell you what, this is the kind of thing you see in mob cases, though, because they're worried about the safety of people involved. And I think the symmetry between this and mob cases is somewhat startling, but also somewhat consistent with the rulings of these judges.
Absolutely. So now, if it were to get to the point where the one or more of these judges said, okay, that's it, that's enough, a fine is the least of it. What else could happen?
What I think may be most injurious, problematic for the former president is if the sanction for this is he doesn't get to see the witness list, the list of prospective jurors in a case because he's violating the gag order. The judge says he's not safe to look at jury names. But that's problematic for a criminal defense lawyer if you can't see the pool of possible jurors and prepare for it. And that's the type of sanction, not financial, doesn't send him to prison, but it's a problem. And I think that's a real possibility here.
There is the possibility that he could actually be detained. Is that not true?
Absolutely. I think it's a provocative thing, but all of this is in the sphere of possible.
Wow. Well, we'll be looking forward to seeing how this unfolds. It's definitely, I think we'd have to say it's getting weirder and weirder and more concerning, right?
Oh, it's definitely getting weirder. I can tell you that unequivocally. More concerning is an argument you could make, too, but this is darn right weird.